You're listening to People Helping People, a live radio show on Daisy 1170 AM. Join us each and every week as we explore the many ways of making a difference, just by doing what you can. Know a friend who's in need of a service? Have a family member who's come upon hard times? Hopefully we can all help. It's about people helping people. Tuesdays at noon on Daisy 1170 AM. If you can help, or you know someone who needs help, call us now on the studio line 408-912-5565 to participate. That's 408-912-5565. You can also send an email to peoplehelping@klok1170am.com. If you prefer to leave a message, call 408-458-9478. That's 408-458-9478. All information is strictly confidential.
Welcome to People Helping People on Daisy 1170 AM, radio that listens to you. My name is Greg, my co-host Larry.
Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend.
So good to see you again.
Behind the board, our friend Franco.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you.
Been holding down the fort since you've been gone.
Or have you? I, from what I understand, you didn't even show up the last couple weeks.
I didn't need to. Franco was taking care of it. So
I know. It's in good hands when it's in Franco's hands. I feel different today. I think I even look a little different.
You do. You're sitting lower than I am.
Is that right? Oh, is that what it is? I'm going to raise my chair then. But it's good to be back, I have to say. I'm excited to be back in here because we always like to believe we're doing good things by doing this show. Each week we learn something new, not only about our listeners and our community, but about ourselves, because I think we end up turning a lot of stones that bring up different emotions and feelings. And, you know, I think the show People Helping People as a platform for the community and people to help one another really is turning into something that sort of feeds itself.
I believe that with all my heart.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're seeing it now over a couple of years, even with your old show with the Hearts for Africa, and how people like to get involved. They just need someone to sort of open the door a bit.
Yeah, kick them in the butt a little bit and get them to move.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, we've seen some incredible things happen just from getting the word out on these shows.
Definitely.
And, you know, we've seen real change. And people we've had on past shows are coming back to us now with new initiatives. Mm-hmm. I think we're actually going to be talking to Jennifer from Real Options shortly, right?
Yeah, we are.
Well, do you want to talk a little bit about that before we
get into Jennifer it? Langdon's been on our show in the past. Mm-hmm. A phenomenal lady.
Absolutely.
With Real Options, it's all about giving girls and young ladies options. Choices for abortion, you know, whether they choose it or not, they just help them move through that,
right,
which is a very difficult time for a woman, as you can well imagine. A lot of different scenarios going on, a lot of different dynamics, but the Real Options is there to help them out. So whether they choose, they don't promote the abortion, but if the person does choose to abort, they're right there to help
them through
it.
To make the right decision so it has the least of negative effect as possible.
Absolutely, and they're there to help them after the abortion, you know, support groups and things like that. Just a phenomenal.
Which I really was blown away when we met her a while back.
She's a very cool lady.
Yeah, very inspiring woman.
Yes.
I'm going to bring it up, too. One of the things I'm sure we'll talk about is this Ignite Life 2016 Rescue the Next Generation. It's October 20th. I know she's going to talk about that.
Yeah.
You could register to attend it. It's on a website called friendsofrealoptions.net. Friendsofrealoptions.net. Again, we'll talk more about it when Jennifer joins us. You can make donations there. You can find out about what Ignite Life really is, too. So we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And when we get on the phone with her.
Okay.
I had a very interesting thing come up yesterday. Brad, who is the COO of the company and the station, he told me yesterday he's got somebody coming in he wanted me to talk to who is a potential guest on People Helping People. Hmm. And I was like, well, what is it about? He's like, well, I'll let him explain it to you, but it's more in the vein of like hate crimes. And, you know, he wanted to get the word out about a certain situation. And he ended up proceeding to tell us, and this was a gentleman who from the area, non-Indian, who listens to our radio station, Bali 92.3, all the time, mm-hmm. our FM music station. And he's been from that turned on to Daisy 1170 and some of these shows, especially this one. And he said he was told of a situation of a gentleman in Richmond. How far is Richmond, by the way?
That's East Bay, right?
Yes. Okay, I think then. It's somewhere around the Berkeley, El Cerrito area.
Okay, so it's sort of north.
Yeah, east. I think it is just a little bit north of Berkeley, I think.
Yes, but okay. It is in the East Bay. Yeah.
So this gentleman is a Sikh, and he was driving, and somebody, I guess, threw something at his car. He got out of the car, threw whatever it was back at the people who threw it at him. They got in front of his car. He tried to drive away and avoid them, and they ended up getting him and dragging him out of the car and injuring him and really did some damage. I think he's going to lose his pinky. I know he has eye damage. He broke ribs. They really did a number on this man. Wow. They caught two of the guys, I believe. Yeah. But what happened was that he is now, they're trying to set up a GoFundMe page for his medical expenses because he has a lot of medical expenses due to these injuries. And he didn't necessarily want to get involved in that because he had been working on this other initiative for money raising for the victims of the Nepal earthquake.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't want this to overshadow what he was doing. To give you an idea of the kind of guy he is, he didn't want it to overshadow the donations he was getting for these other people.
You're talking about the person that was attacked.
That was attacked. Okay. He basically was like, I'd rather not set up. Yeah. I'll handle my, you know, my own expenses or I'll try.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to think I'm double dipping because I really think this is a bigger issue that people have forgotten about. And that's something we did on the show a while back and talked about. Yeah. Don't forget, because it goes out of the headlines doesn't mean the people in Nepal are back to easy street. It's not. It's going to be tough for many years.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what he said. Mm-hmm. And because of this, and it was something that this gentleman who came yesterday, his name was Sean, said, you know, I really want to get out there and spread the word about this gentleman. And, you know, he's an inspiration. He's a good man. I've met with him. He really cares about people. And meanwhile, here he was attacked due to a hate crime, and yet he doesn't hold any ill will or harbor any negative feelings towards anybody.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to open the conversation, start the conversation with our listeners to, you know, how do we learn more about one another? How do we learn about the fact that we may look different, we might believe in different things, we may have different beliefs, religious beliefs, but we're pretty much all the same. Mm-hmm. And we're all genuinely well-meaning. There's only one God, so to speak. We might believe they have different faces or names, but they're all, the central purpose is love one another.
Yep.
And how do we cut through this hate to understand we're all one people? And he wanted to come on the air to talk about that and see if there was a way this show and this radio station could get a conversation started. How do we learn more about our beliefs so that everybody understands them a little better, as opposed to thinking because that guy looks different and because he wears a turban, there's something wrong with him and I need to do something about it. We need to fix that kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Sean was saying. And I really think it's a very worthwhile topic for us to delve into because it's all you hear these days, hate crimes. Mm-hmm. Why? What is the purpose of because somebody looks different or acts different or has a different belief than you, how does that turn in? It's even with the politics. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's across the board. I mean, just kids with special needs, same thing. You know, they get bullied. You know, if they look different, they get bullied. It's across the board. It's that way everywhere with everything.
Think about this election, which I can't wait till it's over in a couple of weeks. I have friends who will put things online like, if you are a Trump supporter, I'm going to delete you from my friends list, things like that. And that's happening a lot.
That's stupid.
It's happening. And there was this game going around where people would like go to the candidate's page, Clinton or Trump, and see how many of your friends, you know, share, you know, like that page. You could see, you know, 77 of your friends liked Hillary Clinton or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what people were doing is they were going through and looking at who those names were on their friends list, and they were deleting them because they have a different belief and because they believe this guy is better or this girl's better than this guy. And it blows my mind. It's like it's not necessarily hate crimes, but it is discriminating against somebody who has the right to believe whatever they want. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this country.
Yeah.
We all have the opinion and the voice to say what we want.
Yeah. It's all subjective, really, and yet it's like you can be the nicest person in the world, but, you know, if you support Trump, I'm just going to delete you off of Facebook or, you know, Twitter, Tumblr, whatever, which is like, it's ridiculous. It's taking it way out of it's taken it too far and out of proportion.
Think about how many people think differently than, especially you, Larry. Everybody thinks differently than you.
Well,
but we're still friends with you.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how you can justify saying you will not be friends with somebody because they decided they like this person. We all think and feel differently. We all have different backgrounds. Sometimes something that got us somewhere might have been something that you have no understanding about. You might have said, maybe at some point in your life, you met Donald Trump and he did something very nice for you. He left you with a positive experience. You might think differently about him than somebody who feels, that he's done wrong to them in their life and their community. It's just natural that we all have our own opinion.
Yeah, and we all do have our own opinions. And so I've shared this with you on a past show, a few shows back, about how it used to be when we used to vote. Spouses never told their spouse who they voted for.
I remember you telling, I knew that was the case, but I forget that it was that extreme.
It was. And when you think about it, not such a bad idea. Look what's happening nowadays because people know who they're voting for.
It's like even if you don't say who you're voting for, usually you could read between the lines.
Well, it's like you make inferences, but come on. Still, you're just guessing. You're making an assumption that that's what that person. I do it all the time because I play mind games.
I know you do.
I love it,
Yeah.
So they never know which way I'm going to go with it. So.
But, since we have a few minutes until I know Jennifer will call us, and then we'll circle back up, I'd like to challenge our audience a bit today, our listeners, to get in this conversation now. Let's start talking about...
Yeah, let's get political.
Not political. I'm talking about the hate crimes now.
Okay.
Because hate crimes...
Got off it.
Bigger issue, I think.
Yeah, it
because
is.
Eventually
You're
the election's
right.
going to go away, yeah. whereas the hate crimes probably
I
won't.
I hope so.
But we all see it in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the color of our skin, our religious beliefs. It could be simply, team you root for. I've seen that. There was a story of the guy down in L.A., a San Francisco Giant fan went down to L.A. 2 years ago, I think it was, and was online wearing his hat, and a couple of L.A. Dodger fans came up and pummeled him. You remember that? He's now in a wheelchair, and he's brain damaged.
Yeah, they really messed him up.
Yeah, because he rooted for a different team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is, and that's a hate crime in a sense because
he
wore different colors than the team they were rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
Where did we go wrong? I mean, I'm not saying it's not always been like this in some way. Maybe it's just now more social because of social media. We hear and see more than we ever did.
Mm-hmm.
But when did it get like this? How did this happen that we all are so set in our own beliefs that we think everyone else is wrong?
It wasn't like this before.
You don't think? I mean, there was a lot of racism and prejudice.
Yeah,
in this
but it
world.
Was not, and there still is. But it was not like this.
Do you think it's social media?
I think that has a lot to do with it. Of course, you can't blame it on that. But I think they make things. They sensationalize everything. A lot of times, they blow up way out of proportion. They are a part of it, but no, I just think it's definitely been degrading for a long time.
I watched a special the other day about how election back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s when they did these elections, and how the media portrays their favorite. Generally, it's always, and again, this is nothing to do with my beliefs, but it's always a liberal media. That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
and
pretty
much. They present one side way more in depth than the other because they want people to buy into what they're selling.
Yeah, it's always been slanted.
It's always been, right.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with them or not, it seems to be that there's definitely a one-way street with how it's presented. But that started back in the 50s and 60s with the war protests how they presented the war in Vietnam specifically. But the way that the times have changed now because the media is just a mirror to the people, right? Because they basically give people, they know what's going to get ratings and what's going to get people charged up.
Yeah.
The hurricane was a perfect example of that. Get people all in a riled up and they'll be watching the Weather Channel. They're going to stay here on the Weather Channel because they want to know what happens.
Yeah.
And it's partially our fault. That's why we need to be in the conversation.
I absolutely agree.
It's not just the media.
Agree. No, it's
and
not.
We are in the media, so I guess
well, that's
in that
true,
sense.
But we're in a good part.
Wow, look at that.
What?
All of a sudden, Franco, was that Jennifer on the phone?
Jennifer's on hold right now.
Okay, so we do have Jennifer, and then I saw all the other lines light up, so I was like, wow, they must be excited to talk about this. So we should get to her. You want to pull her up there?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's get on. We have Jennifer from Real Options. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're better
Very
now.
Good, yeah.
Good. We have reception. I have you on speakerphone.
Yeah, you sound fine.
Yeah, you sound great. Do we sound okay?
I sound phenomenal. Well,
Your voice is a welcomed tone on this show because we haven't spoken to you in so long.
I know. It's been too long. What do we have to do to fix that?
Well, we were going to invite you in, but now that you're here on the phone, we don't need to do that.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
We do. We need to do both.
When can you come visit us again? We need to be blessed with your presence.
We have a lot of exciting things going on. I actually just got back from Texas a couple months ago, and we have an entire new curriculum that we're offering to the community for parents who are maybe a little apprehensive about talking to their kids about the birds and the bees. And so we actually completed a 4-day training, and we get to go out into the community and offer it to parents to help them overcome some of those fears and actually articulate healthy relationships with their students without it being entirely awkward.
Wow. And now, does this have anything to do with Ignite Life?
You know what? It doesn't have anything to do with Ignite Life in the sense that that's what we're going to be talking about at Ignite Life, but it's just an additional service offering that Real Options brings to the community to rescue the next generation, and it's through prevention.
I love hearing rescue the next generation because we've been talking about it internally for a while, and it's not necessarily their fault because of the way social media has taken off like a rocket ship.
Yes.
And there's so many challenges that generation is facing that we just never could have foreseen.
No, we can't. And in fact, technology changes so fast. We have had to change our curriculum multiple times to keep up with the onslaught of bad information that is being formatted and reformatted and disseminated to the youth. And we actually just added another piece to our curriculum called Sexting and Cyber Safety, which has been very well received at the middle school and high school level.
You just raised something, if you don't mind. I would like you to go back a second. You just mentioned I don't know how you phrased it. I'm drawing a blank on how you phrased it.
Technology is changing at a very rapid rate.
Yeah, but you mentioned specifically how the kids themselves and how I don't know how I just drew a blank on that.
But you just got back in the saddle.
Yeah, you got to give me a break. My brain is still a little mushy. Yeah,
I'm with you, Greg. I have mushy brain every day.
Oh, but this is unusually mushy for me. no, but I mean to simplify it, instead of trying to find directly, how exactly do the parents reach somebody? How can a parent who doesn't necessarily relate to a child and what they're going through now, how do we get the values back that we grew up with? Again, this is sort of a roundabout way to get to what you were saying, but how do we get the values back?
Well, that's what's really exciting about it is one of the things that we do through this curriculum is that we remind the parents that nothing can replace the value that they add to their child's life just by being there physically and talking to them emotionally and psychologically. Nothing replaces that. In fact, statistics show and evidence shows that the higher the parental involvement, the higher the parental engagement, which is just talking to your kids, spending time talking about relationships. The higher that engagement, the lower the risk factors for those particular students. So there's a direct correlation between old-fashioned values of walking and talking with your kids on a regular basis and lower risk of pregnancy as a teenager, of STD, of any kind of addictive behaviors. It's an absolute scientifically backed correlation.
Well,
old-fashioned values are still there. Parents are just being told that it's not relevant anymore by this culture, and the culture is wrong.
Do you think that birds and the bees must be a conversation that's had earlier in the life of somebody, because now they have more access to finding out for themselves?
Absolutely, and one of the things that raises is the reason that we got this training, number one, is because it's really encouraging parents to not wait. I mean, 100 years ago, it was the night of the wedding. Mom would sit down with her daughter and let her know what was about to happen.
Yes.
And that's ridiculous and absurd, we think. But back then, the values were different. Yeah, now the values are such that parents are being taught that, you know, it's still just a one-time conversation and warn them. But we know through evidence that they're learning earlier and earlier because of social media. about these things from their friends, and the information that they're learning is wrong because they're getting it from their friends and they're getting it from social media. And so the encouragement to the parents is you still have a relevant voice in your student's life, and just because you don't have a Snapchat or a Twitter, mom and dad, you still have a heart for that child, and that child still wants to hear what you think about their sexuality.
They're going to look to you, right? I mean, you're the example.
You
that's
are the
where
example.
It ought to be.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that our training is really going to equip parents is get back in the saddle and take the reins, because a lot of parents think, you know what, I'm not a good example. I made bad choices when I was a teenager, and they're terrified to bring it up with their kids for two reasons. Number one, my kids are eventually going to say, well, what did you do, Mom? What did you do, Dad? And then the parent doesn't want to bring that up because the parent thinks if I tell my kid the truth, then they're going to see that as license to go out and do what I did. And that's actually not true. The parents that are honest about the mistakes that they made are going to gain more credibility with their student.
Right, because it's not like, you know, a child is going to look at their parents and be like, you should have been an angel. I think
right.
they feel they can relate
they
to them more.
They might actually have a little relief that, you know what, my parent is the authority, but they also are a human being and they made mistakes and they're honest about it.
I think that carries a lot of weight, though.
Honestly, it does.
I do, too.
I was very honest with my kids. I mean, my past was a little bit sordid, to say the least. But, you know, when they're old enough to understand, I did share that with them because I wanted them to know that, you know, you can have that kind of a past and still be a decent person.
Right.
A lot of times you're a victim of your environment.
Yep.
You know?
We make mistakes.
You are. And the messaging, back to the technology, the messaging that's inappropriate and the cultural values that are being strewn at our children's heads at a very rapid rate has to be countered. And if it's not brought up by a parent because they're embarrassed or whatever, then it's never going to get countered. And if it isn't countered, then the student is really back to the rescuing part. They're going to be lied to. They're going to be deceived. And they're going to think that, you know what, everybody's doing it and it's no big deal, when in reality it is a huge deal. You know, there's strains of gonorrhea now that are impervious to antibiotics. And so they just don't know. They're not educated. And so that's what our goal is, to not just rescue the next generation from decisions that might hurt them, but it's just to even rescue them from all the lies that are being told to them, that their body doesn't matter, that it's just currency to get what they want, that, you know, that all these decisions that they're making right now in these relationships are, you know, life or death matters. Some people are, you know, they're committing suicide. That's one of the reasons why I do this, is they're being told, it's no big deal. Get into these relationships, and if it doesn't work out, get into another one. And so people are feeling like they're disposable. And then when it affects them very deeply, these students are killing themselves over it.
Well, you're forced to mature much quicker than back in the day.
Yes.
My niece is, who just turned 13, or I'm sorry, yeah, she just turned 13, and she's in seventh grade, and she said to me, she was talking to me, and she's like, look, if I ever feel like I can't say something, my sister is her mother, and she said, if I ever feel like I can't say something, I remember you always telling me when I was younger that if you want, I could come to you. And I'm like, absolutely. You know what?
Yeah.
And she said, she's like, I just want to make sure, like, because sometimes I feel like if I go to my mom, she's going to get mad if I tell her these things. But I know, like, I feel like I could trust you. And I was like, I told my sister, I'm like, that's a good thing that she feels that she can go to somebody else, because typically they usually don't. Yeah. A lot of teens don't know to do that or don't know where to go with these questions.
Yeah.
And at least then I can make the decision of whether her mother needs to know or if I can handle it. But at least somebody knows.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that came up. And she was talking about how, you know, she has people think she's much older than she is. And she gets a lot of friend requests from people. And that's one of the questions that came up. That was she prefaced it with, can I come to you? And then said, like, well, I don't know what to do because there are these guys that have found me on Instagram and that are now Snapchatting me, and they're older. They're like 19, you know. And I'm like, well, look, that's going to happen. You look older. And they don't know. They just see you as a face. They don't know your age. It doesn't say it on your profile. And these are challenges that were never really an issue 10, even 5 years ago.
Exactly. And so what you've done is you've erected a safeguard around that girl. You've erected a safeguard in advance that says, if you don't feel like you can talk to your parents, I know it might be awkward. I'm a trusted adult, and I love you, and yeah, your family, but I'm a trusted adult. And so when the issue arises, because we can't always anticipate how those issues are going to arise or what they're going to look like, but when it arises, I'm here, come to me. And you never know. You may have saved her from friending somebody that arranged to meet her out in public and, you know, did something nasty.
That was something that came up. I even said that. I was like, look, people are going to try and do that. There's a big show on MTV now called Catfish, if you're familiar with it,
yep,
where people are having these relationships, but they're faking who they are. They'll say they're somebody who they're not just to get to the next level of meeting up with them. And they have like basically a relationship over the internet, which is all built on lies, essentially.
Yeah.
One person's usually who they really are and the other person is who they're not. And there's a lot of deceit in there. But she mentioned that, and I said, people are going to try and meet up with you. They're going to say, let's go here and do this. 90% of the time, 98% of the time, it's going to be somebody who's looking to do something very bad. And, you know, you might have one that is truthfully somebody your age who wants to do that, but you cannot believe anything you come across unless you know that person and your family knows them, that you can't believe anybody. And I think that's a big issue right now.
And the concept is still the same, whether you're talking about dating or whether you're talking about social media or whether you're talking about decisions on how far to go in a relationship sexually. All those decisions are very confusing if the other person isn't necessarily very well known, or maybe the girl knows her boyfriend, but he's still, you know, being driven by hormones. And hormones make people do things that they shouldn't do. And so those teenagers are navigating, like you said, in very, very dangerous waters that were never really open to us 20, 30 years ago. And so if we're confused and we're having a hard time dealing with it and keeping up with all the ways that predators can search out our kids, how do you think these kids feel who have hormones, I mean, racing through their body? They're not fully mature. Their prefrontal cortex, which is the front of the brain that is able to determine long-term consequences for immediate decisions, is not fully formed until they're 25 years old.
Wow.
These poor kids are being thrown out into the ocean, and parents are afraid to talk because, well, I don't want to bring up sex because, you know, what if it opens up the door and they weren't ready to, you know what? No, they're already seeing it, and if you're not the one talking to them, they're getting it from their friends, and you have to be brave.
Ignorance.
To rescue your kids by talking and opening the door.
Ignorance is bliss, right? Parents think sometimes by ignoring it, it'll
go away.
It never does.
Nope.
Yep.
That's
one of the things that we put in our new program, the sexting and the cyberbullying, the cyber safety. Predators are going to find you. Sex is going to find you. Mm-hmm. You no longer, it's, you know, about going out and finding relationships. They are on your computer, and they're coming into your home, and they're coming into your child's handheld smartphone. And they are devising ways to come find you. And so it really is about being on the offense.
It is.
We have to be on the offense constantly with our kids. And so one of the things that, you know, to get to the Ignite Life part, one of the things that we're really excited about is just sharing with the community once a year in the form of a dinner and a buffet dinner and an exhibit what we do and all the different ways that we try to rescue the next generation. And so that is our theme. That's why I say it so much. To talk about this event on Thursday, the doors open at 6 p.m., and it's actually a buffet dinner. Last year it was just hors d'oeuvres, but this year we're doing a buffet dinner. And then we're actually creating this kind of passport to life where you get to come in and get a passport and visit tables that exhibit what each of our departments does.
Wow.
So you get to go and see a live ultrasound scan by a nurse that works for us. You get to go to my table and do cup sex, which is a demonstration of chemicals being transferred, and it's meant to simulate STDs and how easily that they're transmitted. And you get to just kind of go around and talk with all the department heads and see what we actually do out in the community, just as a way to kind of inspire you that, wow, there are people that really care about our community, and here's what they're doing.
That sounds amazing. I was actually going to ask you if you could give an example of how you can relate to not only the parents of these children, but the children themselves. I think that's the challenge for most parents, is how do I relate to somebody who I, like you said, I've had no experience dealing with what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Could you give us an example of something of how a parent might be able to get through to their child?
Well, unfortunately, I think everybody has had an experience in their life where they made a bad decision. Or whether they were given two sets of information and they chose to believe the wrong one, or they chose to not follow the advice of a trusted adult.
Right.
I think the best thing about our program, specifically for the education team, is our Real Talk program goes in the community and we keep it real. We tell real stories. All the speakers on our team tell real stories about how, like, personally, you know what, I took the pill twice. I mean, I took the pill and got pregnant twice on the pill, twice. So it doesn't, it's not a foolproof plan. And here's what happened to me, and here's what that looked like. Just sharing real stories about how I'm a human being, and I didn't do everything right. And here's what happened, and here's why I am motivated to help you protect yourself. I think that's the best way that a parent can connect with their kids, is, you know what, maybe I didn't get into, you know, negative relationships when I was younger, but I took my dad's car out when he told me not to, when he told me it was a dangerous car, maybe it was a powerful car, and I crashed that car. And when, you know, when parents are communicating with kids, it doesn't always have to be around relationships, but it can be about just being vulnerable and being real and connecting with the kids, saying, you know what, I know it's hard to imagine me as a teenager, but I was you once.
And I was awkward too.
It was awkward. It was embarrassing. I didn't like my parents. They made me do homework. They made me do chores. And one time I, you know, whatever it takes, being real and being vulnerable is the best and fastest way to connect with your student. And it's counterintuitive. People think that, oh, I have to show that I'm in charge and I'm the boss and I'm the parent. Yeah, you have to have boundaries and you have to maintain your authority, but you have to be a real person. And people don't really care what you know until they know that you care. And the best way to say that you care is to say, you know what, I'm going to be vulnerable and I'm going to share an embarrassing story with you to show you how much I love you.
Well, I was thinking when you're talking about that, when I was in school, junior high, I had a math teacher. I thought the world of this guy, but he was very strict, but he was very real and very honest, and he was always there to help us. But the point being that even though he was strict, he got the respect of the class.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He set boundaries and things like that. I think as kids, back then at least, I think we felt better when we had those kinds of boundaries.
Yeah. I do too. I also think that's it's relatability too. I feel like a kid just wants to be able to relate to you know, and I think there's probably more of positive reinforcement to come from somebody you relate to. Like, I mean, somebody you, like as a child, you look up to people you admire, you know, you like athletes or musicians or actors or whatever. But when you meet an adult and you feel like there's a way I can relate to this person, like they look, there's somebody who I aspire to be. I think that relatability is probably more important than ever, right? So you don't feel like there's a disconnect between adult and child.
I can't relate to the person that, you know, runs a marathon and they get up every morning at 4 a.m. and they go work out for 2 hours and they train. I can't relate to that person, but I can sure as heck relate to the mom that's got three kids and she can barely get a workout. And you know what? She's found a way to do a 20-minute workout during her lunch break, and she laughs about how she, you know, left her shoes at home and got in the car and commuted to work. Mm-hmm. And when she tells me that, it's like, okay, phew, I can do that. I can be like you. I may not be able to do the two-hour workout every morning at 4:30 and run a marathon, but I can squeeze in a few squats during lunch, even though I forgot my shoes that day. Like, that is the person that I relate to, so that's the person I'm going to trust.
That's true.
When you build trust, you can actually impact lives.
And it's such a difficult time right now. We were talking earlier in the show. There's so many factors and negative factors all around us now. There's more positive. I feel like, you know, there's more opportunity to find entertainment around us. You know, we have our phones, our laptops, our computers, our TVs, the radio. There's avenues everywhere. But there's also, on, you know, the equal negative side to that is that there are more avenues for darkness too, and places more wrong directions than ever before. And a lot of times, if you're not informed, we always talk about being informed. If you're not informed, then it's easier to make a wrong decision. At least if you're informed, you're making a decision knowing, hey, I'm going into this knowing I'm making the wrong decision.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're not out to save everybody from ever doing anything that they regret. We're just out there to make sure that people have as much information as they can before they make decisions, whether they're making a decision about their pregnancy that was unplanned, whether they're making a decision about relationships and the sexual nature of their relationships that might lead to STDs or pregnancy, whether they're making a decision about how to handle things that have hurt them. We think that people deserve all the information that we actually have, the evidence, the scientific information, the studies that have been done, so that when they do make that choice, if they still make a choice that might not be the healthiest, at least they can own it and say, you know what? I was prepared. I did make the wrong choice. My bad. And regardless, we're still there to help them. We're still there to pick up the pieces. But we, our hearts break for those people that are making the bad choices, that are getting hurt, and they're like, nobody told me. Yeah. How come nobody warned me? How come nobody's out there telling me? How come the voices to do the negative thing are so much louder than the voices to, you know, to protect myself?
Do the right thing. Yeah. Do you find that there's more, even say this year opposed to last year or the year before, you're finding there are more of these types of conflicts than ever before? Are you seeing it grow that rapidly?
What we're seeing grow rapidly, it's actually counterintuitive. There's such a strong negative presence on social media that is affecting students at a very, very fast-growing rate as far as the sexting culture, the taking risks on social media. That is really, really exponentially multiplying every year. And the fallout from that is, unfortunately, suicide or suicide attempts are very, very, you know, high correlation between social media problems and depression in teenagers. But the flip side of that, which a study just came out, I think, in June of this year, that fewer students than ever are choosing to wait at least till they get out of high school to enter into sexual relationships. So only about 41% of students are now having sex by the time they graduate.
Wait, 41% have or 41% are waiting?
Are choosing to have sex.
Wow, that many.
And it used to be the flip side. It used to be the majority of students were having sex, and the ones that were waiting were the minority. Now it's actually the flip side.
Oh, okay.
The majority of students are waiting to have sex until after high school.
Well, that's a surprise. I was actually taking that the other way.
Yeah.
I guess that's
so
a good thing.
The CDC did that study, the Center for Disease and Control.
Well, that's...
And the interesting part is not just that statistic, but why. The students that are being polled, and it was a very large study, the students are being polled are being asked, why are you waiting? And one of the number one reasons is because I don't want just sex. I want real love. I want a relationship that means something.
Wow.
So they're starting to get it, that sex isn't love and love isn't sex. It's a component, but it's not the entire thing. And so they're actually getting smarter at the same time as, you know, this increased onslaught of opportunity to hurt themselves. They're getting smarter. And one of the reasons they stated was because this generation of students is being raised by the largest amount of divorced parents.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
That I do know for sure.
That divorce hurts, that relationships can hurt, and whether you're divorced or whether you just, you know, were born out of wedlock, they're seeing the brokenness of their families, and they want something more. They want to wait for true love. They want to ensure that their children don't have to go through divorce or the brokenness that they've seen their parents go through.
That is very, I got to say, surprising to me, and it's also pretty, I feel reassured that we're going in the right direction. I was reading something about how this next generation could be the one that puts an end to smoking.
Yeah.
Cigarette smoking has decreased
because
young people are not smoking anymore.
Yeah.
So,
it's huge.
And I was shocked when I read the statistics of the amount of the decrease in teenage smoking over the past, 10 years?
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if it could go, it'll ever go away because, you know, people like vices.
Hard to say.
But that's a very encouraging statistic. And then when you tell me something like that, maybe the information at their fingertips is not only working adversely, it could be working in a productive way.
I was thinking the same thing. Yep.
You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Because they could see more than ever the negative effects of sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always hear of the good things, right? You always think of you want to believe everything is going to be like it is in the movies or on TV. But the reality is divorce, you know, having a teen pregnancy. What teenager at 13, 15, 16, 17-year-old is ready to have a kid? None.
No.
So maybe they are learning things that otherwise they might not have learned.
Yeah.
Right.
So they can make the correction, you know, or figure
it out. The technology is an advantage, but we do pay a high price for it as well. So I think that we're just doing the best that we can as we keep up with the trends and as we realize how these students are being affected and where the messaging is coming from, that we're trying to stay on top of that. And we're just trying to stay ahead of the curve, which it's really hard. But thankfully, there's a lot of good resources out there. And we just try to be a hub for those resources and disseminate that information to parents who are really the end user and, you know, they're so busy working and trying to put food in that kid's mouth that that oftentimes they don't have the time to research and figure out how to put, you know, porn controls on their kid's iPhone and check their kid's iPhone. And they don't even, parents don't even know that, you know what, you actually have permission to check the iPhone that you purchased for your student. You actually have a legal obligation to make sure that nothing funny is going on there because you signed the contract.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things a lot of parents don't even know, or they just need encouragement that, you know what, yes, there's no privacy when you're under 18. You get, you know, as far as an iPhone is concerned,
right.
Mom and dad control that. We own that. And even though it's yours, we need to protect you from yourself.
Yep. You live under, my parents say it all the time, well, you live under my roof, you play by my rules.
Yeah.
There was no disputing that. It was
no
just
democracy
fact.
In this
yeah.
house.
But
and,
let,
yeah.
let's ask a question since, you know, we've been talking quite a bit about these initiatives. We should remind everyone, first of all, where can they get all this information, Jennifer? And
sure.
how can we get people signed up for Ignite Life?
Yeah, so Real Options Pregnancy Medical Clinics, we are in four locations, but you can just go to realoptions.net and find out the location closest to you. You can always contact me directly for any education, parenting resources, any sexual risk avoidance tips or ideas. My email is jenniferl@realoptions.net, and our phone number to any one of our clinics is 408-229-9836. And specifically, we would invite anybody in the community that wants to know more about who we are, what we do, and why, to our Ignite Life, our annual fall fundraiser. And the dinner is free, and admission is free. But tonight, admission closes at 9 p.m. Online. So the registration is available online at Real Options, friendsofrealoptions.net/ignite. It's a lot of information for people, so if they just contact me, I can register them online. If they don't have a chance to register online tonight before 9 p.m., they can show up at the door of our event, which is the Computer History Museum in Mountain View.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't know there's a Computer History Museum on North Shoreline Boulevard in Mountain View.
I didn't know that.
Huh, okay.
Wonder of wonders.
The
doors open at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Presentation starts at 7:15.
Huh. And how long does it run?
It should be over by 8:45, 9 o'clock.
Oh,
I'm going to ask this question because I know there's going to be somebody out there like me. What are we eating? What is the food at that?
You know what? It's probably chicken.
Chicken?
I love chicken.
No, they always have a vegetarian option, but there's going to be probably some chicken.
You want to know how to get me in the door? You tell me about the food.
Are you going to come, Greg? You have to. You guys, Larry can't come.
I can't.
You can come.
Is that Thursday evening? I might have to do this. You know, I would love to see what you guys are doing. And see it firsthand because
It's really exciting. Just a way to learn more. There's no commitment required.
Yeah.
Just show up, have some food, mingle, meet some people. We have capacity for 500. We're at about 420 or 440.
Wow.
So we only have room for about 60 more people.
Darn.
So if you register before tonight online, before tonight at 9 p.m., you will have assigned seating. But if you register after that in person on Thursday, then there will be an overflow room.
So, Jennifer, I am registered, as I told you before, because of my sister.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems though I'm not going to be able to go. Can somebody else use that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll probably go ahead and unregister you. But,
well,
yeah.
Just get rid of
I'll
me. I like that.
Greg.
That
get
was
rid of
quick.
Him, Jennifer.
Just get rid of me.
Yeah. Done. What good are you?
Smoke.
Easy come, easy go. Come on, Larry.
I guess so.
Jennifer, you guys are doing such amazing work.
Yeah.
And since the first time we had you in here, we were very impressed, not only with what you were doing, but I think the way you get there and your approach to getting through to younger people and how you don't necessarily discriminate against because they don't necessarily follow the path or they haven't followed the path that, you know, you might have chosen. You guys have a way of relating to them, and I really respect that because it's so hard.
Yeah, I thank you for that. We are a medical clinic that deals with pregnancy, and we are life-affirming, starting with the person in front of us. It's always about the person that we see first, whether that's the pregnant woman, whether that's the student. And the neat thing about Real Options is we are staffed by a bunch of people who have either had unplanned pregnancies, who were adopted, who had kids with unplanned pregnancies. So we are full of compassion. We are non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And we literally are there to help rescue the next generation. And I certainly thank you for the opportunity to be on the show and hope that you can possibly come, Greg. And if not, well, you know what? We have them every year.
Well, I'll tell you what. We also have to make sure we schedule your next visit
here. Yes, absolutely, we have to do that.
All of this information you gave was is just vital and so important. And you always have a platform with us. So anytime you have something going on you need to promote, just let us know and we'll bring you in. And if you can't make it, we could talk to you on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for what you guys do.
We appreciate
helping people that are helping people.
Well,
yes,
thank you.
Because of people like you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
Of course, that was Jennifer Langdon at Real Options. If you want to contact her, 408-229-9836, Jennifer L at realoptions.net. And if you want to register for that Ignite Life 2016 Thursday night, the event, friendsofrealoptions.net/Ignite Life. Very good work they're doing. That was very Yoda-ish, by the way. Very good work they do. It was a Yoda. You don't know Star Wars, do you? I'll talk to Franco about it. Franco understands.
That was really good, Greg.
Didn't sound like it at all.
Good it was. You know, Yoda speaks backwards.
You're just talking about the way you say it, but it doesn't sound that way at all.
All right. He had to rain on my parade, as he usually does.
Well, you got to get back.
Jennifer does great work.
She's used to it.
I missed that. So like, I missed it.
I know.
Like a hole in my head.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Jennifer is a great human being. They do great work at Real Options.
Very, very awesome lady.
It's nice to be reminded of what they're doing because I'll tell you what, not easy as a parent. Now, I'm not a parent, but not easy to be a parent these days.
No, it isn't.
And I see the challenges not only in my own family, but the people around me and my friends, neighbors that all, you know, are fighting these battles right now and figuring out how do I relate to my kid who I don't relate to anymore because it's just vastly different generations. Even, you know, I guess I've said this before. Franco, you would be considered a millennial, right?
Yes.
You fall into the millennial group. There's a lot of interesting chatter about the different generations, you know, the baby boomers, Generation X,
right,
millennials, which originally were called Echo Boom, and because it was all the younger end of the baby boomers having children, so that shows up now one generation later. But then they changed it to millennials.
Okay.
But a lot of the talk about millennials is they're more informed than we ever were. They have more information at their fingertips than we ever had. We wanted to find something out. We either had to learn it from someone else, and it could have been wrong because there was no way to fact check our parents, really. But also, not only do we have to learn it from other people, or we had to go to an encyclopedia. And if they weren't new encyclopedias, you could be getting outdated information.
Yeah.
You guys have access to more information, but the thought is they work a lot smarter, not harder, because they understand that all these tools are here and I don't need to work as hard as maybe my parents did.
Yeah.
It's a difference of belief and it doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but you'll notice now there's this next divide from millennials to the next generation, which I think is going to be even wider because they're being born. You weren't born with a cell phone in your hand. You know what I mean?
No.
Franco, you probably would have been in your teens when computers really blew up, right?
Yeah.
10 years maybe?
Yeah, because when I was born, the internet didn't even exist yet.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, it was like at least when I was born, 1990.
So I guess computers really came around in like the late 90s when people, like everybody had an email address in like 2000, I would say.
Yeah, when everybody was using it.
But you're right. It wasn't a prominent thing in the early 90s. And especially at your age, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah.
You're 2 years old on a computer.
Heck, I didn't even get into, I didn't know anything about emailing until 2007.
Is that right?
Honestly.
Yep.
You were that out of the loop.
I was that out of the loop.
Wow.
The girl I was dating was just appalled.
Well, I mean, I don't blame her.
Well, I did know. I mean,
you were
completely.
Where were you for 7 years?
I was working.
Oh, that's
where
right.
I was.
That's right. You were sending snail mail. I'm wondering why everybody was taking so long to get back to you. You're sending singing telegrams instead of emails.
Now, email's almost obsolete.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be a little while before that.
Well,
happens.
I hope so.
Is text message the new email? Is that what it is?
I don't know, but I'm not a big fan of text.
Because you don't respond to anything anyway.
I mean, I text message you. You say you'll get right back. And I don't hear from a week.
It's because you're very intrusive.
I am not. You
always text me when I'm in the middle of dinner.
Hey, what's up? That's it.
Yeah. Well, so it's because you don't have anything.
Nothing. Apparently, I don't even hear back.
Well,
what's up?
Now I know you're not telling the truth.
Okay.
But anyway, very different times, and I do think that the generation that's growing up right now, 5, 10 year olds, 12, 13 year olds, right now, have some of the biggest challenges ahead of them.
Oh, I absolutely believe that.
And I wonder if it eventually will revert back to less connected because of it. I think I've discussed that on the show before. Mm-hmm. I wonder when that happens, when people start, parents start saying, you know what, I'm not giving my kid a cell phone until they're out of high school, or at least till they're 15 or 16.
I can see that happening, because, I mean, I've always made the statement on this show and everywhere that, you know, we're really not, I don't think we're becoming connected at all. I think we're becoming disconnected.
From
people, most importantly, from touch, from people.
That is true.
You know, when you look at people in a restaurant, I eat out when I'm out of town all the time. And when I'm in a restaurant, I'll talk to my son. You know, we both, of course, have cell phones, but we never use them when we're together,
ever. Yeah, it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm.
And we look around and we see people, you know, a guy and a girl, young couple, out having a glass of wine and wine tasting. And they're instead of talking to one another, they're on their phone texting.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Serious.
The conversation has stopped.
Or when I'm in line. I'm in line at Pete's at 5:30 in the morning. What do you think they're doing in line?
Texting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. Let me give you two things real quick. I'm not going to take long with these. One, I find I was on my honeymoon and in this beautiful hotel, all inclusive, and most of the people there were couples. It was a romantic kind of a hotel, you know, adults.
Yeah.
And I was, we didn't use our phones on the trip. We decided we're going to leave them in the room, and, you know, if we needed our phone, we'd use it, but we're not going to carry it around with
us.
You
had it for emergencies or something.
Exactly. If we needed to check something online, we'd know our boarding passes and such. So anyway, we were sitting out on our balcony, and it was overlooking the pool and the beach, and there was a bar, which was out, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and there were about six people, three couples sitting at the bar side by side, and we looked down, and all you saw was six lights from cell phones across the board.
Yeah.
Their backs to us, but all of them, each of them were on, none of them were talking, couples, but they were all looking at their cell phones, and I could see it. And we were like, you believe they're not even talking to each other right now?
Yeah.
No conversation whatsoever. The other thing is, I was in the mall briefly the other day and walking, and there were, I would say, out of 75 people I saw, 65 of them, no exaggeration, were walking through the mall on their cell phones.
Yeah.
Whether they were texting, FaceTiming people, but they had others with them, and yet they weren't talking to the people with them. So I do think you're right. Communication is the easiest it's ever been, and yet people are doing it less and less. It's always through text.
Well, you know, Jennifer was talking about, you know, as parents, you know, we want to connect. We want to communicate with our kids.
Yeah.
And we're finding it harder and harder to do, because it's so much easier for the kids to do something, you know, on their computers or with their peers that has something to do with technology, but little to do with real communication.
Yeah.
That's where we're losing it as parents, because we don't have that link anymore that we used to have. We had to talk.
Yeah.
We really did have to talk and communicate. At one point, we had to do that. But now it's easier and easier not to have to do that.
Yeah.
So
you ever go to restaurants and see kids and they're on their iPad the whole
time? I see all that
stuff.
And
it's like, well, it keeps them quiet. It's like, well, years ago, you used to give me a
placemat
with crayons.
Yes, and that's another thing. Parents are guilty too, you know, because they use that to keep their kids quiet.
Escapism.
Well, they really do. But, I mean, here's the challenge, people. This is what we're going to challenge you with today, and not just today. See if you can stand in line at Pete's Coffee or Starbucks. See if you can go out to dinner and not once pick up your phone. Put it face down on the table and don't even look
at
it.
That's a good exercise.
See how hard that's going to be for you. I guarantee you it's going to be a lot harder than you think.
You have to fight it.
And if it is, we've got an issue.
Yeah, fight it.
Yep.
Any thoughts, Franco?
I just want to continue with what Larry said. Yeah, I see a lot of young children that have more iPods than iPads. I didn't even grow up with those devices. They didn't even exist. I would just play with actual toys. I mean, you still see kids playing with toys, but now they all have iPads, and they're just like this all the time.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, they are.
It's unbelievable, yeah, really.
It is. Ugh. And that's, like you said, though, it's a challenge, but we have to figure out a way to overcome it.
Yeah, we do.
And come out on the other side, because it's not like we're just going to be like, ah, that's it. Let's throw our hands up and let's close up shop and go home.
Mm,
we have to continue to function as human beings, and I think we will. We'll figure it out. It's just going to take us a little bit of
time. Yeah, we do. But I just think that that's a good exercise for us all to practice. See what we can do to make that cell phone less important in our lives.
My challenge to everyone is, next week we're going to talk about hate crimes. Mm. I want people to think this through and join the conversation with us in some way next week. Maybe you can join in and throw us a few things that we might want to discover.
Very important issue.
Next week, again, same time, same place. Next Tuesday at noon, we do People Helping People. Hate crimes is the subject. I think it's very important, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. Join us with that on Daisy 1170 AM, radio that listens to you.
Go Mobile!